Welcome to the
Party Girls
podcast. I'm Selena and my co-host is Dante.
Don't even get me started. Don't fucking put it up. Don't even get me arted. Nailed it.
Great job. So this podcast came to be because I love art and Dante's a film guy. So I do all the research on an artist and Dante does all the podcast shit. So as we go along, Dante has no idea what artist I'll be picking every week. So as we talk, I'll be dropping Dante works of art by the artist, and he'll hopefully be seeing them for the first time. And you can follow along too on our Instagram as the pictures will coincide with the podcast.
I hope, you know, I've been thinking about last episode. I can't believe we didn't make any Drake, Aubrey, Degrassi jokes. I feel like that was
That's because I never watched
Degrassi. I didn't watch it either, but I was thinking about it. I was an OC guy, and you can't go two. You can't have two of those types of shows.
Two people that have never watched Degrassi are just supposed to come up with Degrassi jokes.
Well, it exists. On the spot. I mean, Drake is such a cultural icon that I just assumed that would kind of manifest. I don't know. It's more of a meme. The OC is a show. Degrassi is fully a meme. It's kind of how I view those things. Zeitgeist.
Also, fully. Why is Drake not canceled yet?
Go off, queen. Light him up. Light him up.
He's grooming that girl from fucking Stranger Things.
God, she's so annoying.
Is she? I don't follow her.
I cannot stand. Oh, hello. I'm Millie Bobby Brown.
Wait, is that really how she talks?
Yes, and she does it. There's two things I always think about that annoy me that she said. She goes, a lot of people be surprised, but I actually don't watch a lot of television. I like going outside. I like being outside. And then the thing that really bugs me, I'm just a regular girl. I go to the grocery store and buy my own cereal. And it's like,
she probably does that thing that Michael Jackson did where he rented out the whole grocery store.
No, dude, she's not a regular, that's not, 13-year-old girls don't go buy their own cereal. She's so, Hollywood brain that she doesn't even know that's not a normal little girl thing to do.
Also, for her to be oh, yeah, I love going outside, also such a privileged thing to say because her backyard is probably so fucking nice. I would love to go outside, too, if I had a beautiful, rich, decadent.
And also,
backyard.
Why would I be surprised that she doesn't watch television? Because she's on television? Does she think we're that stupid? No, the girl who's on the television doesn't watch the television? If I was on TV, I wouldn't want to watch TV either.
Anyway, guys, there are so many facts that it's flat. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Guys, you don't even know. You don't even know. I think I am what do they call it? I think they call it a flat earther. Anyway.
Are we riding? Say you'll never ever leave from beside me.
Everybody's saying the earth is not flat. How do you know?
Well, I still listen to podcasts, so we'll see if that dies for me with this too.
No. She probably doesn't want to watch television because she's probably just pissed at all the roles she didn't get. You know, I feel like that's a thing. Fuck that girl.
She's weird.
I auditioned for that shit.
Yeah, she's just really entitled. She was awful in that Godzilla movie. Man, they really fully fucked up that Godzilla movie.
I did not remember that.
It came out last year.
The one with Charlie Day?
What's up?
The one with Charlie Day?
No, that one's great.
Okay. There's
Wait, first of all, that's not Godzilla. That's Pacific Rim.
Oh, okay. I'm getting.
I mean, honestly, it's honestly Pacific Rim's like one of the best American Godzilla movies. Like, if we're not being technical about it.
So then, it's technically a Godzilla movie.
No, it's not. It's a fully made up. It's like Guillermo del Toro's own thing.
Oh, okay, okay.
But yeah.
So a Godzilla movie came out last year, and she was in it.
Yeah, with Vera Farmiga. Oh my God, she's so
who's that?
Smoking. That kind of crazy face girl from The Conjuring and Departed.
Conjuring and Departed.
I thought you loved The Departed. She's a psychiatrist. Right? She's Leo's psychiatrist, and she dresses like Jack Skellington for like a good portion of the movie.
Send it through the Discord so I can see your crazy face.
All right, this is going to take a lot of trial and error for me to... It's so funny how white she is for how...
Is she the lady that...
How ethnic her name... Vera Farmiga Departed Pinstripe already comes up in my suggested. Like, I've already looked this up.
Ew, specifically in a pinstripe.
No, it's. Suit, I don't think it's sexy. I literally just think it's so funny. She looks exactly like Jack Skellington. I guess we have to post this on the Instagram. This is one of the pieces of art for people.
This will be the first piece. Oh my God! Yeah, I do know her.
Of course,
exactly.
You know her.
Yeah. Wait, you think she has a crazy face?
She has an insane... I mean, I think she's very beautiful, but she does have an insane face.
I think her mouth... Like, her mouth area is crazy.
Big mouth, but crazy cheekbones, her eye... Blue eyes just freak me out in general. It's like...
Really?
I feel like I'm being, like, x-rayed when I get looked at with someone with blue eyes.
Can you not make eye contact with them?
I feel like I need to put on one of those dentist...
Sunglasses?
Those dentist bibs, like those weighted bibs. When you go to the dentist and get your...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, whoa, can I get some protection, please?
Can you stop looking through me, please?
Fuck, that's probably one of the things I miss from the old world is... haircut, getting specifically like my neck trimmed, and when they put the weighted vest on you at the dentist.
Oh my God, how many times do you go to the dentist?
Every
a
six
year
months,
for you to...
twice a week.
Do you really?
That's the way you're supposed to do it, man.
I know, but what
don't
the
you
fuck?
Have like
do you have health
nine
insurance?
Cavities?
I know, I have so many cavities.
So I think we know who's in the right and who's in the wrong here, little miss.
Yeah, but how
Swiss.
Can you do that? Do you have health insurance?
I did, and then
well,
I aged
mom,
out of it.
Right?
Yeah, dude, my mom's a pharmacist, and you get really good health insurance until you're 26, and so...
So what have you been doing now? How have you still
chilling,
been going?
Chilling, vaping, just relaxing.
But you haven't been to the dentist.
Well, that's why that. We're doing... this podcast, and I'm...
Okay.
So I can afford...
Send money.
It's for the benefits. That's what I love about the job security of podcasting, is that it's... You get dental... No one tells you this. You only need to record one bad episode, and, I don't know, 8 minutes of a pretty good episode. Damn it, I did it again, where I said how much we were recording. But after that, you get dental and health. No one tells you that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either because obviously I haven't.
You have a fucked up thing where you made like $6 over your health insurance and you couldn't get it?
Yeah, they said I made $80 over my health insurance and they were like, you make too much money. But then I didn't make enough for unemployment and that's when everything happened. So I didn't make enough to claim unemployment and I didn't make enough. I made too much to get fucking healthcare. But I got just the right enough amount to get food stamps.
So
I have a lot of food.
Did you get the full $196?
Yeah.
Here's a little inside baseball for y'all. We're recording on August 2nd, and tomorrow's big day.
Today's August 1st. What are you talking about?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
See, that's me. I'm always planning ahead, thinking in the future. I'm always three steps ahead.
But what were you going to say about it?
Okay, so, I mean, for me, and I'm sure like a lot of people, I look forward to the third because that's when I get my food stamps. And I'm got no groceries. We're dealing with a no grocery situation right now.
What have you been eating?
My breakfast was, I think, the last of what I had in the fridge, and it was like a hash brown with ketchup.
The last egg.
a smoothie with frozen berries, two bananas, and water, because I don't have any, what's it called? Milk? Shit. Soy milk? Almond milk?
You made the smoothie with water?
Yeah, I made the smoothie with water.
Oh my god, how'd it come out?
I mean, it tastes like berries. It's fine.
Yeah.
It just tastes like watery berries. But I haven't drank milk in, like, 4 years.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
And especially because when me and my roommate first moved to Portland, we would buy 4 gallons of milk at a time. And not one time did we throw away, did we pour it down the drain. It never expired. We drank it in time.
Is that with Phil or with Eric?
Me and Phil. And Eric.
Oh my god.
Eric and Andy were like horrified. They're like, how do you drink all that? And we're like, what are you talking about? You're just doobie-doo.
That's when you were, you were lactose intolerant at that time too, right?
Yeah, but okay, here's a little thing. I'm actually glad I have a platform to talk about this. I'm technically lactose intolerant. Medically. Legally lactose intolerant. But when I was in high school, actually, I think it was 8th grade of middle school, I was like, you know what? Enough of this shit. And so the way I saw it in my head, the way lactose intolerance works is that dairy is 2 enzymes. And the body will naturally break up those 2 enzymes and put it in their respective bodily places. And so in my head, I was like, okay, I just need to teach my body how to break those enzymes, because lactose intolerant is, you get stomach aches and throw up because it can't break up those enzymes, and that's why you get sick. And so I figure it's an intolerance to lactose, so if I just eat and drink enough dairy, I can teach my body how to, like, not be...
So did you just go through, like, 2 weeks of... Like shitting yourself?
2 months of shitting
yourself. Oh my god.
And I was like puking and like, it was a fucking absolute nightmare. I was like Nicolas Cage in Leaving Las Vegas. I was just like, but 2 months of hell. And that's kind of what I've been saying about the coronavirus thing this whole time. 2 months of hell. We all just buckle down, drink fucking our milk, get sick. Stay inside, but then it's over. And now I can fucking, I'll fucking have an ice cream right now. I'll have a fucking ice cream on pod right now. I don't have any ice cream. Maybe next episode after I get my food stamps and go shopping.
On the third, 2 days.
That's our promise to you. Keep listening, and that'll be our Patreon tier. At 700 Patreon followers, Dante will eat an ice cream on pod.
Well, stick in there. You got 2 days. Don't starve to death.
I'm going to take a little shot right now because I was listening to the last podcast and I was like very...
A shot?
I feel like I was really nervous last... I have a shot and a White Claw.
Oh my god. It's 10:47 a.m., guys.
On July 1st? August 1st? I was nervous. I was really... God... If you listen to the last episode, God bless you.
Yeah, and you made it all the way through. I get that the 20 minutes
and
you're entertaining.
And you're back. You came back. You're on for another episode. Man, dude, I was seriously so nervous. More than I could even admit to you, let alone myself.
Yeah, no, when we first started, I was, like, shaking. And
okay,
I was, like, telling Nico, I was like, get out, you gotta leave. You gotta leave your house.
Boyfriends and girlfriends are not allowed in the house when it's podcast time. I need an empty house. All right, here we go. Bottoms up.
Ooh, man, it kind of makes me want to take a shot.
I thought you said you haven't been drinking.
Yeah, okay, so we didn't drink for a whole week, and we didn't use the Juul, and we didn't
food out. I've been Juul free for months because I broke it.
Oh my god, good for you. We've only been a week. Yeah, no Juul.
And then
no
I smoke a cigarette and I'm like, oh, this is disgusting.
Ew, yeah, cigarettes I cannot go back to. Juul, I'm ready for it after a week.
Juul's so delicious.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Juul pods suck. Actually, I stopped Juuling, and then by the time I came back, they had to legalize the flavor thing, and that's what I really like.
Yeah.
And so then I had to, like, do the Juul pods, and I was just like, oh, man, this is not as delicious as the flavored juice stuff.
Oh, yeah, no.
Did they say the flavored shit's for kids? I'm a damn adult. Give me the juice, dude.
Yeah, fucking adults want juicy shit, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, mango flavor. Oh, my God. This girl had, like, this girl that I work with had, like, the most amazing flavors. Like, right before they, like, illegalized everything.
Can I just shout out my brand that no longer exists anymore? Because, and they could... If you come back, please sponsor the show. Eon Smoke. That was my shit. I fucking loved it. Not a bad flavor in the bunch, honestly.
Yeah, the flavors were so good. This girl had, like, this pina colada one. So fucking good.
Did it actually taste like pina colada?
Yes. I was like, what the fuck? And then she had a watermelon one, which tasted so good, too.
Remember that time that I was posting an Insta story? And I was making, like, a real pina colada. And I just remember everybody was like, oh, my God, that looks so good. But you're the only one who was like, that is, I know how stringy that is. Like, I know that's not even good, making pina colada with, like, fresh pineapple. Not great. Not good. Good optics. Good picture shit. But horrible in, like, actual execution.
But you will drink anything, so...
No. I'm actually very... I'm pretty picky. Like...
Picky.
I had rum for the first time in, like, since high school, and it was bone chilling.
Oh, my God. So, one time, we only had a bottle of rum here, and this is, like, when we were, like, still, like, quarantined. Like, let's just drink. And so, we drank everything, ended up with one bottle of rum, and we tried it, and we just felt so fucking horrible. Like, oh, yeah. Wow, is this really what it comes down to? Like, we're so desperate that we're just going to take shots of rum.
Ugh.
So disgusting. It was so nasty.
That reminds me, well, two stories. That reminds me of when me and my ex got gin, and we were drinking gin all night, and we were, like, on our way to a Blazers bar. Basketball game, and there was only one bar on the way, and I'm like, well, I don't want to get, cross my liquors, but we only have time for a shot, so I'm going to just grab a shot of gin, and the bartender gave me, like, the most insane face. He's like, a shot of gin, and I'm like, yeah. And then obviously found out later that's insane. And it was disgusting.
So disgusting. Did he even chase it with anything?
No, we didn't have time. We gotta go. LeBron, oh my God. LeBron was playing, dog.
How did he even do that? Oh,
it was God. It was Blazers versus Miami Heat. And it was like snowing and yeah, we're like,
I think I remember that when you guys were posting a bunch of videos. So snowy.
So in high school we were drinking Captain Morgan, and I was at a party drinking Captain Morgan, and I had, like, the full attention of people talking. And if you can't tell from this podcast, I love talking and having people's attention. And so I had the attention of, like, this whole party, and I'm telling this story, and then I just projectile vomit, like, mid-story.
Oh, my God.
And everyone's, like, scared and, like, walks away disgusted from me. And I just remember being like, wait, come back. It's okay. Like, it was so desperate. And then I got laid on the couch, and I was on the couch, and I felt like I was so fucked up that I felt like I was, like, on a talk show because people kept sitting down and visiting me. But I got drunk so early in the
talk show
that people from high school started sitting down with me and talking to me. Like, I was like, oh, Jamie, you're here. What's up? And, like, all these people I know from high school that weren't at the party were now sitting next to me. But then I was drunk on the couch, and I had to puke. But, like, so I was puking inside the couch.
No way.
Yes, I was puking inside the couch.
Whose couch was this?
Tara, did you know her? She was friends with, like, Holly and Linnea.
No.
Anyway, I was puking.
You were puking in.
I was puking in, and like at the time, I was so drunk, but not drunk enough to be blacked out, that I'm like puking in the couch and like kind of like looking around. I'm like, I'm totally getting away with this right now. No one
trying to be sneaky.
The perfect crime. I'm puking, but nobody's like, oh, who's puke guy? Because I already was puke guy like a minute ago.
That's so insane. Did she ever find out?
Yes.
Of course,
well,
right?
And then fast forward, like, a couple months later, I'm at, like, a party at, like, Jake's house or something. And he had parties with, like, a bunch of schools, you know. And, like, the parties were so big, it wasn't, like, your high school specific. It was, like, multiple high schools came to this party. And someone's like, hey, Dante, blah, 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 blah. And then this girl turns around and is like, wait, you're Dante? And I'm like, yes, I'm Dante. And she's like, oh, my God, you're the guy who threw up all up in that girl's couch. And at Sal Point, we call it pulling a Dante whenever everybody falls asleep on the couch and throws up in it.
No way.
Yeah, that's my
legend.
Story with rum.
Sal Point legend. Wait, but she never confronted you and was like, dude, I had to get rid of my fucking
No, that
couch.
Was kind of the story I was going to tell, was that I actually took care of her, like, that last Halloween.
What? Oh, that you took care of her, so it was kind of like, you guys are even?
It was kind of like she wasn't mad at me because she's like, hey, man, I've been there. I get it.
Oh, okay. I see. Damn, that's insane.
I do carry her, I'm pretty sure.
Wait, so let's give him some background. So Dante and I have been friends for like 10 years. We met in high school. We both went to Tucson High. Dante left to Portland, and I'm stuck in Tucson. So we're not together while we record.
I know you can't tell from the crisp, prestige audio you're being delivered, but we did a little homework. We invested some money in this thing. We got skin in the game.
Yeah. It was pretty quick, too. Like, one time I was like, Dante, there are no art podcasts out there that I really
enjoy. Man, you
enjoyed.
Keep going like, back oh, to that. You really just want to... You're trying to light... You keep lighting up these art podcasts. Also, Selena, there is a lot of art history podcasts, as I found trying to research for this show in terms of...
Well,
like,
I wasn't, like, finding any. And I was just like, oh, no. Like, okay, there might be some, but, like, none of the artists that I want to actually listen about.
I'm going to do my, like, a Babe Rube calling the shot. Artsy Fartsy, good art history podcast. Hope we can be guests on each other's show sometime.
Yeah, hopefully.
Fingies we'll crossed.
Yeah.
If we're not too stupid.
Okay, so let's get started. Because this is... This episode is going to be heavy, 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 heavy. So this week we'll be talking about the artist known as Caravaggio.
Man. You have to get it.
You Caravaggio.
Get it. You have to, if you're going to talk about an artist for a full episode, you got to get it
well,
in one shot.
Well, they have crazy names. Okay, Caravaggio. Yeah, I got it. So we'll be talking about Caravaggio. He's an Italian painter who worked mostly in Rome. He did art in the 1600s. And let's do like an overview of like what you'll be expecting in his art. His painting, so he's a painter who painted with oils. And his paintings showcase the struggles of humans, like it's a lot of emotions. It's super strong and aggressive, like body language. And you'll see like, well, I don't want to spoil it for you. You'll just see it's a lot of struggling going on in his paintings, like physically and emotionally and psychologically.
Well, I can relate with that because as we've discussed earlier in this podcast, waiting for food stamps and et cetera.
So that's an emotional struggle. Physical struggle, because you're probably losing weight right now, just starving.
I did go... I'm at two... been hovering at 218. Can't really get past that one. My goal's 195 because I have average size feet. I'm the average size height, which is 5'9 and a half and 10 and a half. Wait, an average American weight is 195, so I want to be average, right in the middle.
195 is like, isn't that like a big average?
I said American, dude. It's still, there's still big boys here.
Crazy.
Okay.
What, you don't think that's crazy?
Oh, crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, when I was growing up, it was like 150 or like 170. So yeah, it is a little crazy. But hey, it makes my goal easier to hit, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah, definitely.
Down from 238, everybody. So actually, I lost I lost a full toddler during quarantine, so I feel good about that.
Okay, so let's get into it. He used super dramatic lighting in his paintings. And he made chiaroscuro super popular during this time, which is a technique that uses intense, extreme contrast between the light and darkness. And it really creates like a spotlight effect on what you want to be like front and center. But the darkness in the painting, like the shadows, play just as big as a part as the light does, as the spotlight does.
Okay.
So he was one of the main artists to use this technique, and this would eventually lead to the Baroque movement, which is an art movement that really focused on contrast, movement, a lot of detail, a lot of deep color, and all of that to create like a sense of awe. And so he grandfathered that movement and grandfathered the technique of using spotlight effect. So his scenes were super dramatic, lots of death, physical struggle, and torture at times.
I feel like this might hit me weird because I've been in a weird spot.
Well, this is one of his most popular ones. I absolutely fucking love it. This is Judas.
Wait, don't tell me. Is it the guy eating the thing?
That's no, Lovecraft? No, oh, okay. No.
Is that the same
guy?
No,
this is... No, it's not.
Okay. See, I know a little bit of art, people. All right. I believe it's called Saturn Eating His Son. I just want to know, people... I came off real stupid in the last ep, and I want to let people know. I know at least... I know some stuff, all right? Because with your food stamps, with your food stamps card, you get into the Portland Art Museum for $5.
Okay, so keep in mind a lot of like struggle, but like his use of lighting and his darkness, like just
dude, come on, I'm lubed up. Put it in. Okay. I'm ready to go.
So this is
I want to see this shit.
Judith beheading Holofernes. And he did this in 1599. And there you go.
That was sick.
So, Dante, you want to describe what you're looking at?
We got my main man. We have a Bonnie Vare-esque figure being choked by a woman with another woman checking out. This is a lot of art that I grew up with in my, like, grandpa's house, actually.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I'm Hispanic on my mom's side and New York on my dad's side. And my grandpa was like he had weird art like this in the house. And he had like an organ. You know how old people just have like weird shit in the house?
So much junk.
It's kind of like, yeah, this is actually kind of hitting a weird nerve for me. In a good way.
So, did you open it big? Because she's not choking him. She's fucking beheading this dude as she yanks his hair. So, she has him by the hair.
I thought he was pulling like a little yarn thing.
No, that's his blood shooting out.
And then, yeah, this lady's like, She's like, yes, good.
Kill. Yeah, she's like,
kill Bon Iver, take him down.
And this girl is so determined to just cut the dude's head.
But she doesn't even, she's like, I guess. She's like, whatever, I guess.
Yeah, like there's not a lot of concern in her face. But look at his face. Like, it's so,
yeah, what face would you make if you're being beheaded? Definitely so much emotion.
Yeah, so much emotion. And then, yeah, can you see like the spotlight effect where just.
Yeah, it's kind of like on her like boobs and like a little bit on his face.
Mm-hmm. But then the whole back is just.
Do you think he must have had people pose for this with the spotlight, right?
Not with the spotlight, but he would use live models. And that was kind of uncommon.
There's no way you can. That was uncommon.
People would go off drawings.
What? That's so weird. But I feel like there's a lot of paintings that like look like this from this era.
Yeah. People painted like this, but people mostly went from like drawings, and he just went from live models. And also, this was actually, I learned this. This was
That actually kind of is something I saw on like Tumblr a long time ago, where there's like this like divide in the like art community where people consider references as like basic bitch as like tracing shit. And so yeah. I kind of get that. How do you feel about that?
I'm fine with either one. It's definitely impressive that he used live models. But again, like during this time, this is what I learned. During this time, it was actually illegal for a woman to pose for an artist.
Oh, interesting.
So what he would do is employ prostitutes to pose for him. And then obviously, like,
it's like that thing where, like, prostitution is illegal, but if you film it, it's pornography, which is legal.
Yeah, well then, like, so a regular woman posing for an artist.
This is the 1600th equivalent of that, where it's like, hey, I hired a prostitute, but I'm painting her, so.
Well, yeah, but it's like the opposite because women weren't allowed.
But
like,
you
regular
could
citizens,
hire a prostitute.
But you could hire that's a prostitute, so and that's how he would funny. Get around that. Yeah. Just imagine him, like, trying to pull prostitutes on the street. Like, hey, you wanna pose for me, bitch?
Like, I feel like that's usually what happens from what I've heard of from, like, sex workers is that it's like, a lot of guys just hire women and then they just like cry and like talk about their problems. It's like really sad, actually.
Jesus. Okay, so he was born in Milan but spent most of his time in Rome. And during this time, Rome had a huge demand to fill the new churches with paintings. So he eventually becomes one of Rome's most famous
painters.
So this
is a respected guy, even though he's kind of doing.
Oh yeah, definitely
doing some
like
sketchy
super
stuff, right? Because he's having women pose for him when you're not supposed to.
Well, we'll get into that. This dude was fucking insane, sketchy as fuck.
Hell yeah. You love the freaks. You love the freaks of the art world.
Oh yeah. I definitely want to get all the freaks out of the way and then like go into the boring guys.
Fuck that, dude.
So let's talk about his progression. So he starts with naturalism, which is just like a true to life style. Like whatever you're seeing is going on the painting. Like you're not really manipulating anything. You're not changing anything.
Okay.
So let me show you this one. This is the fortune teller, and he did this in 1594.
Is this another prostitute?
Probably, actually. But this was, like, also a new theme. Like, do you see the theme where it's a fortune teller? It's a gypsy telling him his fortune. This is, like, a new theme for Rome because Rome is so used to, like, religious context and not really, like, I think, like, fortune telling is, like, part of the dark arts.
So this is kind of, like, what we're looking at right now, this very modest, wholesome painting is, like.
Yeah, very natural. But he didn't really manipulate it.
But what I'm saying is that what we're looking at, this is the equivalent of, like, very rebellious art for that era.
Yeah, it's just a new theme. Like, people are like, what? What are you painting? Like, super new theme. And then, so from naturalism, which
it's
just is
like
just...
basic stuff, but the whole community is like, oh, I see what's going on here.
Yeah, yes.
Do you remember that wife swap where the woman's like, this is all dark sided?
Yeah, I used to love wife swap.
Dude, I've been watching some lately.
From naturalism, he moves to realism, which has more to do with the context in the painting. So this is when he moved to the religious paintings, which is where the money was, because everyone just wanted to fill churches with new paintings. And this is a piece that he did, which I love. This is The Sacrifice of Isaac, 1598.
Man, it just like kind of hurts my feelings to hear about people being paid for art. Being two people recording a podcast on spec while I'm making...
But you have made so much money off your art, so don't even
Not
start.
Recently. I feel recently, like a broke-ass bitch right now.
Yeah, that sucks.
I told you about the NBC thing, right? I'll say it on the pod. So I was camping. So I do... In the old world, I did crew guy stuff and made a lot of money from it. And now that film is dead because of coronavirus, not so much with making money. And so this episode is going to be a lot about me being poor and drinking a lot lately, because that's kind of what I've been vibing on. Between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., that's kind of been what I've been thinking
about.
Jesus
Christ.
And so I went camping out of cell service, and when I got back, someone was like, hey, this producer is in town looking for crew guys, and email her. And emailed her, and she's like, oh man, Alan's a great guy, I totally like love your website, but I just secured the two crew people I needed the day before you emailed me. So and then that was a 5-month gig with NBC, so.
I wonder what show it was. I wonder what show they're filming.
It is like a reality show or something.
Oh, I love reality shows.
I love recording reality. I love filming reality shows because, like, filming, like, scripted television is so, so boring. Like, you think it's going to be cool and movie magic, but really it's just, like, okay, have, like, these SNL people say a joke 5 times, and then we're going to change the angle, and then you're going to hear the same joke again. And, like, it's just, like, you know what's going to happen every day, but, like, reality show is like, all right, we're going in a volcano, and we're going to do this, and, like, we're going to drive this fucking thing off of fucking... And it's so cool. And usually you see something, like, explode or something. It's cool. I like working on the, like, home makeover shows.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so what's this guy? What did this guy get paid to draw this guy?
Okay, so this is when he moves into doing realism, which has more to do with the context, so it's going to be religious. And this is The Sacrifice of Isaac. But you can really see that technique with the spotlight effect, and it's so beautiful.
This, like, reminds me of that thing from the Bible. Is this a story from the Bible where God tells him to go?
The Sacrifice of Isaac. Yeah, you have to kill your son.
What's the name of the dad, though?
Abraham.
Yeah, that's the name that I connect with more.
Yeah.
Dude, God did some fucked... This and Job, I think, are my two favorite stories in the Bible, because it's just God being needing so much validation.
Like, what's the story of Job?
God and the devil got together, and God's like, all my...
Oh, they were friends?
Yeah, okay, for the sake of this story, God and the devil are chilling, vaping, just being buddies, lounging.
Good vibes only.
Couched, alright. And so God and devil are looking down, and God's like, he's like, all my followers love me, they'll never question me. And then devil's like, oh, you want to put that to a test? And God's like, sure, why not? And then devil's like, okay, what about that guy? And points down to Job, and God's like, oh, Job is one of my most devout followers. He loves me. And then devil's like, okay, here's the test. I'm going to fuck this guy's life up.
Oh,
and
my God.
And if he curses your name, then it shows the fickleness of man. And God's like, all right, go, let's do it. And he, like, kills his wife, fucking fucks up all his crops, like, leaves him with nothing. But he never slanders God's name. And then finally God, like, reveals to him that it was, like, all a test. And, like, thank you, my son. You're, like, I knew you wouldn't betray me. But I'm like, fuck you, dude. Like... Do you really need that much validation? Like, that's crazy
that
fucking, like,
love
ex-boyfriend, girlfriend shit. Like,
yeah.
She's like, I'm gonna fucking break your Xbox. I'm gonna, like, that's fucking, like, insane. It's like a boy being, like, fucking smashing all your windows and then being like, oh, baby, you knew I was just going through some shit right now. I love you so much, baby. And the girl version of it being just like, she's like, I know I can be, like, difficult sometimes. And then this picture, once again, God is like, all right, I need validation. Abraham, go take your
son. You gotta kill your son.
Kill your son. Wait, don't do it. Blah, 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 don't do it.
Psych.
Got your ass. And then sends down an angel, Gabriel, who's my middle name, Dante Gabriel Quest. Oh, poop. I'm not going to say my full name on you. God is a messy bitch who loves the drama.
He's a petty bitch.
God is a petty,
get
messy,
over yourself. You're fucking God, dude.
He literally loves the drama, dude. Noah's Ark drama, dude. That's like Bad Girls Club shit.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. So, what's cool about him is that both his realism and naturalism were super intense, but he really embraced all flaws. He didn't create idolized creations. He, like, drew dirty feet, wrinkles, ragged clothing, and he strays away from what was so
sounds like
at the time.
Sounds like Kanye's fashion shows.
So he strays away from what was common at the time, which was idealism. And this is, like, what you'll see with Michelangelo and the Sistine Chapel, where everything is so, like, heavenly and perfect and all the figures are just beautiful. But instead, Caravaggio really embraced, like, the ugliness of things, which was super, like, revolutionary at the time.
All right, I want to see. Everything looks pretty good right now, except... I guess that's why you're saying the decapitation portrait is his most famous, because that's, like, all of those elements, like, clashing and combining together to make this, like, awesome piece of art.
Yeah. Okay, so he moves into showcasing realism with that technique of the spotlight effect, and he shows violent
struggles. The lighting
struggles.
Is incredible. This is actually crazy.
So,
like,
beautiful.
Yeah.
So
as
the
a
lighting
light guy,
he relates.
Man, this shot's doing something to me right now.
Oh my God. So then let me show you one of my absolute favorite ones. This is the crucifixion of Saint Peter. He did this.
This
in
is
the year 1600.
Story of a girl. Got a river down the whole world. And he looks so bad, crucified, his dad. I absolutely love her. Is this from the Bible, too?
Yes, the crucifixion of St. Peter. This is the...
they crucified
where...
St. Whoa. I didn't know there was other crucifixions in the Bible.
Yeah, this is actually where the upside down cross comes from.
St.
Peter was crucified upside down.
Really?
Yeah, so when you see an upside down cross, it just has to do with Saint Peter, so it's not like Antichrist or anything. It's actually pretty religious.
That's what I've been saying.
So next time you see a goth girl, you'll be like, do you even know?
I go full Garden State with her and I put on my headphones, to the podcast, look for this part in it and make her listen to this part.
Or you can just go up to them and be like, hey, man, St. Pete was pretty tight,
and she also
right?
has a follow along on our Instagram, too. But I make her follow on that one. And leave a 5-star comment on the podcast. Yeah, so Odd Future, that's all just like... Black metal, Odd Future, that's all just like St. Peter stands, right?
Is what you're telling me. Yeah, they don't even know it. Yeah. The Upside Down Cross.
So, seriously, St. Peter wasn't demonic at all?
No, he was just crucified upside down.
On accident?
I think they probably did it because of like torture. Imagine being crucified, not even crucified, but upside down, where all the blood.
Are you
is
sure
just
they didn't just donk
head.
It up and like someone is holding like a blueprint?
They fucked
upside
it up.
Down,
be like, this doesn't look right.
Anderson, this is all screwed up. He's like, oh, gee, oh, I'm sorry, Johnson. I'm holding this freaking thing all upside down. It's okay. You can't get every crucifixion right.
They're like, something's wrong here. I can't place
I can't
my finger
put
on
my
it.
Quite on it. Oh, it's upside down.
All right, fuck it. Let's just leave it.
Oh, fuck it.
The guy's like screaming for his life.
He's like, well, yeah, no, he's like, boss, it's before right. you chew me out, what's the point of all this? To torture him to death? Feel like we're still doing our job. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing thing, but
I don't know the story of why they chose to crucify Saint Peter upside down either. Maybe he did something extra naughty. I don't know.
It actually seems easier to crucify, like, based on this
it does
picture,
actually yeah
because it just takes yeah. so little weight to push those little feet up.
Yeah,
this is a sick portrait though. The
yeah
details,
super nice
the
right like
the
darkness
feet.
Yeah, his
for
dirty
all, for
feet.
All those, for all our foot lovers out there, this is you're gonna really get a kick
There's
out of this
There's
some
dirty feet in here.
I'm looking.
So all
I'm
the
looking
feet...
at four filthy ass feet in just one picture.
Yeah, so this is really uncommon at the time. Like people wanted clean feet and like beautiful and just like heavenly. And he just
nowadays
embraced...
people want all every type of foot there is. Little feet, big feet.
Okay,
dirty
so
feet,
he becomes one of Rome's most famous painters. He was never left without commissions, but a lot of them were actually rejected because his paintings were seen as vulgar.
You think when they invent smell-o-vision, the foot community is going to be taking that first?
Jesus, that's disgusting.
Wiki Feet just buys the patent on smell-o-vision.
So his paintings were seen by vulgar, like a cardinal's secretary even said he can paint well, but from a dark spirit who has been for a long time far from God.
Whoa, shot.
So they
fired,
he kind of said she kind of said like, dude, this is the Antichrist. He can paint really well, but this dude is not
cost?
With God. Yeah.
Damn, that's I vibe on that hard. Actually, I'd be so... That'd probably be the best compliment someone could give me on my, like, art, where it's like, man,
like
this
sick
is...
sick in the head.
It's like, hey, man, you're really skilled and talented, but this is pretty, like, messed up.
This is pretty dark,
this
man.
Is pretty... yeah. This is pretty. They could also say that.
So,
that'd be nice.
Let's get into his life. He was known to be super violent. Like, he moved around so many times in his life because
like
he would start shit.
I feel like that's an emo's dream to be like, wow, you're really talented and really skilled, but this is, like, messed up, man. And he's like,
oh, yeah.
The voices in my head don't like you.
Yeah.
Wait, what's this guy's name?
Caravaggio.
Garbaggio?
Caravaggio.
D or a G?
Caravaggio.
Garbaggio. Okay.
Oh my god. So he was known to be super violent. He left his hometown because it was rumored that he killed someone. Mm-hmm. And that's why he ends up in Rome. So he ends up in Rome in, I think, like 1600, the year 1600, probably 1599 or sometime around that. But in 1601, he's actually arrested for beating a guest of the cardinal with a club. And then in 1603, he was sued.
So he was anti-religion.
No, he just like really loved to fight people, like anyone. Seriously, this dude would
so cool.
Yeah, he would seriously just go around like at night with a knife on his side, dude, just like looking for anyone to fucking like kill.
I feel like, damn, I'm just like thinking about like, what if you heard like Band of Horses or some shit that's like really like nice, or no, this is a better example. It's like if Yo-Yo Ma made like beautiful like music, but then it's like, oh, did you know Yo-Yo Ma like fucking just beats the shit out of like,
yeah, this dude seriously, fight club. This dude seriously killed like at least three people.
Did you know Bong Joon-ho is actually a bare knuckle boxer?
So let's go through all his arrests. 1603, he's jailed and sued.
It just makes me think writing. Of Bronson, of how he like just loves fighting and get all buttered up and be like, come on, let's go, and he fucking get all naked and beat up the guards and shit.
Yeah,
people just like love it. I mean, honest violence, not good, but it sounds pretty cool, I'm not gonna lie.
So, 1603, he's jailed for defamation, and then 1604, he's arrested for possession of illegal weapons, and then 1605, he actually had to flee Rome for a couple of weeks for attacking
one
of his models.
Whoa, hold on, not cool, man. Attacking the models?
Yeah.
Dude. Nah, man.
I guess he attacked him so, like, viciously that he had to, like, flee.
They pose for you, dude. That's fucking not cool.
They probably weren't posting, like, good enough. Like, he was like...
No!
Yeah. Do it right! Ow! Do it right!
God, man. Imagine just being, like, this skilled and talented... And just, I mean, I feel like we know some people like that who are just like skilled and talented, but then like are just so insane and like violent. It's just like, I just don't understand how like the brain can work that way. Cause like, I've always had like the idea that like if you are this talented and skilled, you're kind of like devoting your life to this thing and like your brain is so committed to this. Like your brain is just committed to art, and then but also he's like no, my true passion is fighting. I love fighting. I don't think of him as like an emo boy anymore. Now I'm just imagining Tom Hardy.
No,
he
was
as
just like violent. This dude was fucking violent. Let's continue. 1606. He actually has to now leave Rome. Because he kills a gangster from a rich family in a duel. And the rumor surrounding the death is because he was in love with a prostitute.
Is that not okay? Can't you, isn't that the whole point of a duel? One man enters, one man leaves. Wait.
Yeah, but I think it's like... Oh, it's because he was a gangster from a rich family. So the rich family wanted to get revenge.
Oh, daddy sued. I see.
Yeah, so then he had to flee Rome.
He's like
but
one
the
of those
rumors...
preppy boys who is just like, he's like, I'll fucking kick your ass. I'll fucking go. And then he's like, my dad's gonna fucking sue you. But he couldn't because he got killed, so he couldn't.
Yeah. So the rumor surrounding the death is because Caravaggio was in love with a prostitute and the gangster was supposedly his
pimp.
Yeah, was her pimp. The gangster, so he kills him, or Caravaggio kills the gangster, and
it seems like
then,
some Batman shit to me, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, then like it used to be super common, like if you guys fight, you would castrate the other one if it was over a woman. So how this dude died is because he bled out from a wound close to his penis, but it wasn't quite his penis. So they say that he was trying to castrate him because of the prostitute. And the prostitute, this
Pause. This is a lot of information to take in. So he tried to castrate him while he was still alive.
It's not said, but he died from
the wound of.
Oh yeah, so he tried to castrate him
while
alive. While they were like dueling.
Okay, I'm just trying to paint this scene here. I'm trying to paint a word picture. So Garbaggio and this rich pimp
gangster
trust fund baby gangster are fighting over this woman, and then he just like pins him to the ground and starts fucking trying to rip his dick off.
Yeah, trying to like slice his dick off.
But did they even fight or shoot out? Or when you say duel, I thought it was like a shootout sort of situation.
No, this is like before guns, I'm assuming. So it was just swords.
Before guns? I don't want to hear about it. I can't even think of such a disgusting time in history.
So this prostitute did a lot of modeling for him. She's the girl that was in the beheading picture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's her. And then she's also in this picture.
A dime piece, if I've ever seen one, dude. I get it.
She's also in this one that I'm sending you, which is the Entombment of Christ. He did this in 1603. She's the one in the back with her hands in the air.
I get it, man. Behead me, sis.
Yeah. She is beautiful.
Damn, she's hot. I get it.
Yeah. But yeah, look at that picture. Like, that piece of art is amazing.
She
kind of
looks like Vera Farmiga a little bit. She looks like Vera Farmiga's sister, actually.
Yeah, she actually kind of does.
Oh, man. I'm getting a little warm over here. I get it. Fully understand. I'd rip a guy's dick off for her. No problem. Today.
Yeah, you
too.
So before, before he killed, I mean, in all the trouble that he got in before he killed the gangster, his patrons were able to protect them.
Oh, he was on Patreon?
Protect him and get him out of a lot of trouble. Huh?
He was on Patreon?
No, his patrons.
Yes.
His patrons.
His patrons on Patreon. That's how everyone got this art.
Yeah. So, but because the gangster's family was so influential and so rich, he had to flee Rome because he was convicted of the murder, and now he had a death sentence over his head.
God, this guy is nuts, dude. Is art history cool?
Yes.
Is it? I mean, I kind of just went on to this, you know, as I said, not a lot going on right now. But
no,
actually,
yeah, so he was...
I'm getting kind of into this stuff, actually.
He was sentenced to be beheaded, and a bounty was out on him to enable anyone.
He was sentenced to be beheaded after
because
he
killed
the
gangster.
Picture.
Yeah, because that was done.
That's true. That's a true Babe Ruth calling his shot moment right there.
Well, we'll get into that too. But so he was sentenced to be beheaded. The bounty was out, so it enabled anyone that saw him on the street to behead him. Like, anyone who saw him could just chop his head off wherever they were.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. So then after this sends him into this dark, super dark place where he drew a lot of more severed heads.
Oh, fuck. This is so sick. Oh my.
Yeah, so he has to flee Rome because he had this beheading over his head, and everyone's like after him, right?
Dude, show me these heads. I want to see them so bad.
Well, we got to move into it. Hold on. So he flees to Naples, then moves to Malta, and this is where he does his biggest piece yet. This is the beheading of St. John the Baptist, 1608.
I love that they're all tied to religion. It's like everything he has going on in his life is so, like, tied into one thing. It's just like...
Well, we don't know if it's, like, because he wanted everything to be so religious, but that's definitely, like, what paid the bills.
Oh, so he's getting paid to make this fucking...
Yeah, these are all commissions.
Oh,
yeah, these
man.
Are all commissions.
He's the Taking Back Sunday of his time, truly.
So, yeah, look at this picture, the beheading... of St. John the Baptist.
This literally looks like me when I was Little Caesar for Halloween.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that.
It's like the same color.
If you got into a fight, yeah, that'd be perfect. That'd be me getting my ass. Accidental renaissance.
Wait, actually, the name of this picture is me getting my ass whooped Halloween 2019 as Little Caesar.
Inspired by Caravaggio.
Little Caesar gets ass whooped on the streets of Venice or wherever the fuck this is.
Yeah. So this is his biggest piece, but what's crazy about this dude is that even though it's outside, they're supposed to be outside in this picture, it's not daylight. He never drew people in open daylight. It's still dark. Like, it's still dark, but he still has that spotlight effect, which I really like. Interesting. Just, like, spooky all the time. Like, imagine living in a world where there's no sun that ever comes out. Just a spotlight that follows you everywhere.
That's so sick to think about. Yeah.
So he's in Malta. He's actually
knighted.
That literally
sounds like my life right now. Darkness. And every once in a while, there's spotlight that shines on something. Like, my girlfriend will do something nice or something, and I'm like, I feel like a little warmth or something, and then that fades. And then that goes back into the darkness.
So he's in Malta. He's actually knighted here, but he's arrested again, and they expel him from the order. So he's still so
he's
naughty.
On the run,
he's just a bad boy.
He's a bad boy on the run, but still getting commissions.
And he was
and
knighted.
And I can't get hired?
And he was knighted, wow. Dude. He was a fucking knight, but he fucked that up. Like, he fucks everything up. So eventually he ends up in Naples again.
Enough to get hired. I'm starting to realize I need to stop blaming my problems on the world and start looking more
internally. So he's back in Naples in 1609, and here he's attacked like so viciously that his face is disfigured and people thought he died.
They were trying to cut his head off.
Probably, but someone, like, actually attacked him and did some, like, physical harm. His face disfigured. But this is when he starts doing, like, self-portraits in his paintings.
Fuck, yes, hell yes, let's go, yes. Whoa.
And he's, like, just doing, like this is where the beheadings one starts.
Have you ever seen Hannibal?
Yeah.
You know when he has a scene where he meets with that guy who like fucked his face up?
Ew, yeah.
That's what I'm imagining right now.
Well, so this is when he does this. So he's like in a dark place. He's just like, fuck, I just got attacked. Like, people really want my life at this point. And he's just like down in the dumps, right? Yeah, so he's kind of, but then he paints this, and it's kind of like a joke to him too. Like, oh, here's my head.
Yeah.
But you can't really have it.
This is fucking Tupac, middle fingers in the air, big time. Just being
So this is Salome with the head of John the Baptist. He did this in 1609.
Damn, this is
and
so
that's
badass.
His own face. So the head that's beheaded.
This also kind of looks like the women from the first painting you showed me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's very similar to the beheading. Wait, how close in years is the beheading, the first one you showed me and this one you're showing me?
So Judith was done in 1599, and this was done in 1609.
Very interesting. 10 years apart.
But that's his face right there. Like,
God,
he was seriously, like,
so
feeling it.
Cool. He's just literally being, like, fucking come at me. He's just fucking, like, pumping his chest. He's just,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, he's like, this is what you want, but you don't got it, so I'm gonna paint it for you.
He's Biggie, ready to die. That's essentially what he's saying right now.
Yeah. And then he also does this. And this is David with the head of Goliath. He did this also in 1609. Also uses his face as the beheaded...
Dude, he's so nuts. He's so, like...
Yeah, God. He's, like, imagining his death because he was just attacked, yet painting it also.
I'm literally so pumped up right now because I've been feeling emo. And seeing this guy channel his emo-ness into, like, come-at-me art, like, that's so fucking cool. That's just like this guy.
But it could either be seen like come at me, or he could just be accepting it. Like, yeah. I'm dead already. Dude, like, there's no point
to
this.
That's even cooler. That's true, yeah. Like, emo shit. He's just shit. Accepting that's it. That's true, like. He's the Anthony Green of his generation. That's what I'm going to say.
So he sends the David with the head of Goliath to a cardinal in Rome, hoping for a pardon so he can go back. So he says, hey, give me a pardon in exchange for my art.
That's so funny.
Which works, yeah.
It
so
works?
In 1610, well, it's 1610, he leaves Naples to go to Rome to receive his pardon. So it did work. Like,
trick.
People loved
it's
his
a trick
art.
Like in Goodfellas, right?
Huh? No. They okay. actually loved his art, but
I thought they were gonna do him like they did Pesci. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, kind of, because he does die on the way there.
Oh, man, they did him like they did Pesci, dude. Oh.
Yeah, he never actually gets to Rome. He dies.
They got so, my man.
And there's rumors that around his death. So they say that they know that he died on the way there, but they don't know exactly what killed him. So there's rumors that he died of syphilis because he was a little hoe, or malaria.
Whoa, I want to hear about this. Well, I guess that makes sense if he tried to rip a guy's dick off of after fighting for a prostitute.
Yeah, but I mean, this David of Goliath, that was like one of his last ones.
Yeah, because that's the thing that gave him entry in back into Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Man, my man died. You really think he died, or you think they did it like on Oz?
No, he definitely did die. So it's
no. Like died. Like I'm sorry, died versus get murdered.
Oh, I don't know. No, he probably got murdered. So let me get into it. So it's either syphilis, malaria, or lead poisoning. Because I mean, it was. So common that the lead in the paint that they used so high. Yeah. Or sepsis from an old wound because he was always fucking fighting. He probably didn't treat his wounds.
No,
like,
man.
Just think about that.
He's fucking brawling. He doesn't have time. He literally doesn't have time between fights to heal his wounds. He fights that much is how I like to imagine it.
But the Vatican released documents in 2002 that supports the theory that the gangster's family hunted him down and killed him.
What do you mean? Wait, expand on that.
The gangster that he killed.
But what's the proof of that from the Vatican?
I don't know. There's documents in the Vatican.
Saying what?
Saying that the gangster's family hunted him down and killed him.
Can you give me a quote? I'll edit it. I'll hold and edit it out of the podcast if you find a quote from me.
Okay, let me see. So, I got it wrong, actually.
Okay, good. I'm glad I had you look that up. Cracking another tab on a...
No, so a professor at the University of Naples found documents from the Vatican secret archives.
Carbonated grape wine with natural flavors.
So, from the secret Vatican archives... which states that not the gangster's family, but the knights that he did dirty, they actually murdered him and threw his body in the sea.
Damn. So his body was never recovered?
No, yeah, they did find it. It was north of Rome.
Why were they even saying it was syphilis then? You think he just died of syphilis?
Because they never... They never really, like, they just found his bones, and So they just thought, well, there's so many
So what did he do? Why were the knights mad at him? What did the knight probably try to get in a fight on the boat?
Oh, because so he was knighted in Malta, and they expelled him because he attacked one of the knights.
Oh my god!
And I guess these guys just held such of a grudge that they were like, "We gotta hunt this down, this guy down."
Wow!
And they killed him.
Authority figures in power being petty, fucking. Nothing's changed, dude.
Yeah, so the knights killed him. And he was 38 when he died.
Damn, fuck. All these stories are so crazy because their lives are so short. How so do they get short. So much shit done?
Yeah, okay, so his legacy. So it's believed that he did around 40
and
to 80 pieces
of one of them
of
had
art.
A podcast.
So 40 to 80 pieces of art, and now his art is like 40
to
80.
That's like a huge difference.
A huge, yeah, yeah. Because a lot of his pieces he didn't sign. Like the majority of his pieces, he didn't sign at all.
What an, as Millie Bobby Brown would say, what an absolute nutter. My man was.
So his art is valued in the millions. The Judas one, the Judas beheading, that's valued at $170 million.
Dude, I get it.
And someone bought it.
Hell yeah. His name?
That's.
Travis Barker.
So crazy.
God, man. And I feel like I went on a damn roller coaster with my man Garbaggio right now.
Yeah. And then, so his legacy. He influenced a ton of people. He, like, created the Baroque movement, like, that came right after him. He influenced so many people. He really brought that technique to, like, become a dominant technique. Like, before, it was just used here and there, but he used it with almost every single painting. So he really, like, made it a style.
I can't believe there's not a movie about this dude.
Yeah, so he influenced even people like Scorsese.
Course.
He says that the bar scenes in Mean Streets are a direct homage to Caravaggio.
Homage, my love.
Homage. Sorry. And so he says that this piece directly
the scenes
influenced
in
him.
Mean Streets? Did you show me the one that's a reference to Mean Streets?
Yeah, I'm showing you right now. Okay, this is The Calling of St. Matthew. This was done in the year 1600. So this directly.
Hey,
influenced...
you trying to baroque my balls over here? Mean Streets.
Yeah. You see it?
Dude, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. What's the name of it?
The Calling of St. Matthew, done in the year 1600.
That's so sick. Scorsese's a legend.
Yeah.
Dude, so I love Garbaggio, dude. I literally can't believe this would be like the sickest movie. It'd be like your stupid typical art period movie, but then just fucking fights, dick ripping off, fucking
prostitutes.
Fighting knights. Dude, I would just love to see a movie where this bearded guy is just fighting knights and they're still wearing their armor and shit. And he's like, I don't fucking care. I'll take the lot of you, innit?
And then he's like moving from place to place because people are seriously like tracking him down. But he's still painting. Like, he's like, let me just. Like throw this out real quick. Like,
it's like
my life is in danger, but let me still make art.
Meets like a Guy Ritchie boxing movie meets like an On the Run movie.
Yeah, he died when he was 38.
God, that's so crazy that Aubrey died at 25. This guy died at 39. Mm. My mom was like 32 when she had me.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, how old was... Oh, your mom was old as fuck when she had you.
Yeah, she was like 40.
Yeah, dude. My mom... Dude, that's our Mexican shit right there, where it's like... Mom has you at 40. My mom had me at 32. But the difference between my mom and her oldest brother is 16 years.
Well, dude, my mom had her first kid at 15.
Oh, what? Like, oh, what? Wait. Is that the guy who came and stayed with me?
Jorge.
Is that Jorge?
Yeah.
My man.
Jorge's old enough to be my dad.
Jorge. I forgot. I literally. Oh, my God.
He's old enough to be my dad.
Okay, so Selena has this brother. How old is Jorge?
I think he's 50 now. So Jorge... Yeah, he's 50,
okay,
dude.
Okay, so Jorge is 50, and this happened, like,
it's happened a while ago, like 4 years.
Six, it had to be. So, yeah, let's say it happened 5 years ago. Selena's 50-year-old brother was on a road trip and then got his car, like, stolen in Portland. Selena calls me, contacts me with him. So then Jorge is living with me and my three roommates in Portland. Jorge is also...
For, like, a couple days.
No, dude, it was, like, a week. It was, like, a long time. And he kept, like, he's like, he has a very thick Mexican accent. He's like,
yeah, he was born in Mexico, so he does, like, his English is so
and
bad.
He goes, like, he's like, Dante, how do I get downtown? How do I go downtown, Dante? And he'd always be like, where the freaks at? Where the freaks at, Dante? And I was like,
yeah, this is like after he had gotten out of like a 20-year relationship
and my man
with
was
his prude.
Horny. My man was horny on the main feed. To the point that this has happened to both me and Selena, that he's showing us pictures of his house. You can finish the rest of this little segment.
So he's like showing me pictures on his phone and then swipes like accidentally, but
accidentally, quote, accidentally.
And he shows me like nudes of him doing naked yoga.
Yeah, it's like him flexed with like a towel over his dick, but like absolutely flex, like full mirror body pic of him just flexing. I'm like, hey, no disrespect, my man is ripped. But, dude, the fact that he carries the strategy, the tact of putting in, like, a thirst trap picture and showing your sister and then the guy you're living with, like, oh, whoops. Like,
so funny.
Anyway, so he asked me
he
where
would,
the
like,
freaks
talk
are
about,
at.
Yeah, oh, he would talk about, like, finding, like, the leather clubs because he
that's
where the
freaks
would be.
Well, that's what I was about
be.
To say is that he was like, He's like, Dante, where are the freaks at? And I was like, oh, go to Lovecraft, this, like, goth bar, like, near my house. And then he texts me, I'm working, and then I get a text at 7. He's like, Dante, there's no freaks here. I'm like, dude, there's still daylight outside. Why would you go to a fucking, like, goth bar at 7 p.m.?
And he doesn't really drink. Like, he doesn't really drink. So just imagine this fucking 40-year-old.
He's very short.
Yeah, he's very short. Just imagine him sitting alone.
He's very handsome. I'm not going to deny that. But he's just, oh my God. He's
but then
so
he just
funny.
Like filled your fridge with beer,
oh,
right?
And then,
what did
okay,
you
so
do?
He kept trying to pay me. And I was like, no, I'm fine. Because as I mentioned, I used to be rich. And so I was like, no, it's fine. You don't, like, your money's no good here. It's fine. And then I think, like, I was jokingly, like, just, I was like, buy me 100 beers and we're fine. He, like, we say goodbye. I'm like, I gotta go to work. I'll see. He's like, he's leaving. He figured out his car shit. I'm going to work. I come back home. There's a note that's like, thanks for everything. I come in my kitchen and they're just like, 24 packs of PBR, like, taking up my entire kitchen. Dude, salute. I love Jorge. God, I fucking, like, miss Jorge right now. Is that fucked up?
That's
Is that
so
weird?
Funny. But, yeah, dude, like, the first night he was there in Portland, like, I didn't even know that he was going to go to Portland, but he went, and then his first night, he got everything stolen.
I feel bad. As a person who's
like,
had
he
his
had
car,
nothing.
I've had my car stolen twice. And I still have the car, by the way. It's still my car that I drive. Every time I check my rear view, I'm constantly reminded of that because these fucking, oh my God. Okay, the last time I got my car stolen, so they recovered my car in like another town like a month later, and I get it back. By the way, when you get your car stolen, there's a deductible for it, but on Geico, I had a $100 deductible, but you have to still pay the remainder of the $285 to get your car out of the tow lot.
Oh my God.
And so I get my car back. It's full of Cook's champagne bottles in the back seat of the car.
Ew.
The windshield is shattered. And my rear view mirror is shattered and taken off. But here's the weird part. They left the screws, like, in my cup holder.
No, I think they were, like, probably just so paranoid they couldn't, like, look behind them or something weird.
No, they took it off. They used my, from what I could tell, they took off my rear view mirror and then used my rear view mirror to smash the windshield.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, all the fucking champagne in the back, like, yeah, we stole this Honda, this 97 Honda Accord. We're living now, dude. They're living.
Time to buy some champagne.
No, champagne. Pop, 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 pop. And, yeah. And so then my insurance was like, you can either have your windshield replaced or your rear view mirror replaced because it costs the same. And I'm like, well, the fucking windshield, obviously. And so I still have, like, a broken-ass rear view mirror now. That's why you gotta put a club on. Like, honestly, I could not vouch more for the club.
Or just don't have a car in Portland, obviously.
Dude, they've decriminalized. Okay, here's actually what's fucked up. Then I found a thing at the so you know what residence, like the Marriott Residence Inn is?
Yeah, like the hotels.
Yeah, but the Residence Inn is like you live there. It's like long no stay way. Hotels.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Okay, that's very important to the story. So I find in all the garbage they leave behind a parking permit for the Residence Inn, which the car was stolen. The mall it got stolen at is like 0.2 miles from the mall. So then I like call the cops and I'm obviously huge mistake, fucking abolish the police, obviously, because I fucking show them the parking permit and they're like, oh well, unless we have a recording of him admitting he parked here or footage of him stealing a car, we can't do anything about it. And I'm like, okay, so this parking permit just fucking materialized in my car. You can't do any kind of fucking TV police work and connect these two things together.
TV police work.
God fucking, oh God, cops suck.
But what did you want them to do?
Look into the person who lives at the spot this is the parking spot is assigned to. And
then like arrest them?
See, or maybe if they're sketchy at all, look up their background.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, and come on, man. Am I crazy? Like, Selena, please tell me. Because that seems like, for years, I've been like, that is so cut and dry. That's like the most obvious thing.
Yeah.
I got a little crazy. I called the Marriott in at one point and it was just like,
oh my God.
I pretended to be a cop. I don't want to talk about it, but I tried.
No,
to
you didn't.
It didn't
Are
work.
You serious?
It doesn't. It didn't work, so.
Are you serious? You actually did that?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What was your cop name?
I didn't get that far.
Oh my God. Okay, we're going to have to save this for a next.
There's no saving. There's nothing else. There's nothing else to this story.
You called someone?
I called the Marriott Inn, the Residence Inn. And it was
pretending
like,
to be a cop, and like, what were you gonna do?
I was like, I'm investigating a case, and I have a permit number here, 59, boop, boop, you know. God.
And what did they tell you?
I feel so embarrassed right now. I don't know why.
What did they tell you? What did they tell you?
Whatever, cops are pretending to be cops, you know, fucking.
Yeah.
It takes more time.
Wait,
to
but
go,
I
it takes more time to get
you.
Your fucking haircutter's license than to be a fucking pork leaf officer.
But what did they tell you?
They said we cannot really set information and like all this fucking shit. Okay. 6,000 cars a year get stolen in Portland.
Jesus.
They've essentially, what the cop explained to me is that they essentially have decriminalized Grand Theft Auto in Portland because they don't have the time to investigate all the Grand Theft Auto.
Oh my god, really?
But they have time to pepper spray all the fucking people protesting downtown and shit. Also, if you're not listening in fucking Portland, Portland's fine. Whatever you saw on the news, it's like one fucking block is crazy.
Oh, not the whole city.
Celine, did you not know that?
Did you think that the protest was just like... Fucking... It's pretty isolated. It's just with like whatever building they're barricading.
Yeah, it's just the Justice Center downtown. It's literally like three blocks are fucked up, and they've always been fucked. That's the same spot that the Occupy Wall Street people were at. They didn't get fucking tear gas and shit. But it's just like essentially that totally part of town is built to be fucked up.
Yeah,
that's like the fuck up part of town.
Yeah.
Which I had to bike through when I used to have a job, but filming bands, but now I'm here recording this podcast, getting drunk at noon. Well, I guess it's fine to be drunk at noon.
Now, yeah, but dude, you took a shot at 10:47. So I told you everything about Caravaggio. We went through his art progression and his life. So let's do a check-in with D, see what he thinks.
Dude, I was excited about this podcast because I love Selena. She's like my best friend. And I'm just like, yeah, but I didn't actually expect to be impressed by art history, let alone this early, because like, this is actually fucking crazy because you like, look at these paintings and you think you know the whole narrative where it's like, yeah, yada, yada, you fucking paint some shit and you do this and that, but my man's out here fucking fighting, fucking like castrating. Like, dude, I'm already so pumped up for this, and I'm so excited about the more stuff you're gonna show me, honestly.
Yeah, just imagine like this is his art. Just imagine like his fucking nightmares and his dreams. Like, this is what he sees.
Dude, this is kind of just like the artist's dream. I just love that, like, when you told me, understanding the context of his life with his paintings, I mean, I think that's like what the truly what the artist's life is about, is where it's like you're going through something and then you like articulate it through the means of art that you know how to do.
And it's fucking beautiful art. Like, look at that.
It's so, so beautiful that you don't think something like actually like profound and like coming from a deep place is gonna come from, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems like he's like, I think, here's my thing, I've always thought like this type of art is just like color by numbers shit, but like like, you know how to do it and then you fucking do it, but then you explain like his spotlight motif and just like that he was in this like the darkest, I couldn't think of a darker place to be in than anyone on the street can come behead you. Like,
that's insane.
Oh man. Thanks, dude. Another great pick, Celine. You actually truly know your shit. So, dude, you can hate, but my girl's got passion and she's allowed to like whatever the fuck she likes. And guess what? I like it too. Bitch.
Okay, let's plug some plugins.
I have a comedy Instagram and YouTube called Cantrell Questus. If you want to see, like, hey, this guy's talking about being a film guy and talking about stuff he used to do, well, go check it out if you don't believe me. And
please, if you like film stuff, it's really funny, and I'm in a couple of
them. Oh, yeah, Selena's in a couple of them, and it is funny. It's genuinely very funny.
It is very funny, and we're waiting for more, Dante. So,
thanks.
Oh, I just want to remind everyone that Black Lives Matter, and any charity that you have in mind, just donate. I don't have off the top of my head.
We'll drop
but
it in
just,
the bio, in the link.
Yeah, just do what you got to do. Be present. and open-minded.
The police will get worse, or there's an actual liberal revolution. So just, let's all just remind ourselves we're in a historical event. And it's very annoying to be in a historical event, but sorry, sis, you're in one.
You know what's annoying is that it's happening along with Corona.
I think the world's gonna end.
Fucking Corona.
Right? The world's gonna end. There's no choice, right?
I mean, eventually, not this year, though.
I don't know. I keep thinking about that poem that's just like, the world will end in not a bang, but a whimper.
But it would be a bang, wouldn't it?
I mean, if you consider like a pepper ball shot a bang, but this is not, it's not like deep impact where the meteor is fucking coming. It's like this in the course of time, this is like, it's petering out whimper. Like a tail, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was actually, there's this, I was listening to some, conspiracy theory podcast, and I heard this conspiracy mm-hmm. that I really liked. It's called Prison Planet. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Okay, so the concept of Prison Planet is that we are aliens. Mm-hmm. There's aliens all over the galaxy. We're one of those aliens. But the humans are such an aggressive race of aliens that we have been sent to Earth to as like a prison, kind of like how like Australia was like a prison continent. And so, mm-hmm. like, until we can calm down as a Earth and as, like, a species, we're these alien race sent to Earth. And that's why we can't make contact with the other aliens.
Whoa, because they're like, you're in trouble.
You're
like,
in trouble, and until you calm down as an entire planet, we're not going to. And that makes sense.
We're not going to, like, accept you.
You have to be fucking absolutely deluded to not believe that this giant galaxy, that there's not life on other planets. And, yeah, and why can't we make contact with them? Because we're in fucking prison
That's
planet.
That's crazy. I like that theory.
I like that theory, too. It gives me so much peace, actually. Like, it explains everything. It explains, like, God, creation, like, why we can't make, like, it just explains so much shit to me that it gives me a lot of peace, actually.
Yeah, so everyone out there, just try to be kind to everyone around you. I'm super big into treating others as you want to be treated.
Or accept that you're like, on the prison planet and just, like.
But, yeah, but, I mean, if you're kind, then the aliens are going to be like, that one, we want that one.
I mean, I got drunk at 10 a.m. today, so I can't make any promises about kindness. And
yeah, they're not scooping you wholesome. Up at all. They're like, leave that guy behind.
Fuck it! I'll leave me with it. All right, so in closing, Prison Planet is real, and Garbaggio is fucking, I don't want to say daddy, but I can't think of anything else.
Why do you want to say that word? I'm so confused.
Garbaggio is zaddy.
You know what's crazy, too, is that he was never married, never had kids. Of course so this not. Dude just that's lived
how you get,
on...
That's like, how you get shit done.
Like, he was just his own person.
That's how you
like,
get shit done.
Yeah, he just moved around alone.
I mean, they always say it's just like, what's better, a life well lived or a life well documented? And I really believe you can't have both. It's like how David Lynch has been married like 4 times and he's always like, my art will always come first. They don't understand my art. And like shit, like, you know, like yeah. Well, in closing, we live on a prison planet. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. The party.